Beautiful feet. Come on. Discussions on the believer and the message. Discussions on the believer and the message. So we began to look at, you know, from Romans chapter number 10. And I said to you, and the heart of the message, the heart of our conversation, of our discussion, is that the believer is the believer should understand that he has a message. The believer should know that he's also a messenger. The believer should go about talking to people about Jesus as a matter of function, as a matter organically. It's not something that you need to be told to do. It's not something that you need to be given a mandate to do. It's not something talking to people about Jesus should not be a scheme. It should be a way of life. It is normal. It should be normal. You should go about talking to people about Jesus. We have come to Christianity in this generation to only apply to some. It is not bad, but they've taken some aspects of the word and of the knowledge of Jesus and just somehow magnified that aspect above normal. I would say above normal to say that there is a place for power. There's a place for us to walk in power and to resist the devil. There's a place for us to receive from God, you know. And there's also the place for us to walk with God. And we need to understand that our walk with God has it affects our walk with God. Rather, makes us messengers. Amen. Makes us messengers. So, in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Right? So, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a very powerful statement. But we move on to verse number 14. Then he says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" They have to believe before they call upon him. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? It means they have to hear before they believe, before they call. And how shall they hear without a preacher, without an announcer? Next verse. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now you see, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So we said, I began to talk to you last week and said that it is important that we understand that our walk with God, when we have a walk with God, the very fact that we have a walk with God makes us his messengers. Right? I will call somebody. I'm in the office. I'll call somebody. Who is there? Who is there? Because I hear somebody moving around on the other side of the wall, and I expect that the person will say, "Okay, Pastor," and then I say, "Okay, please help me go and do this. Help me go and do that." So I just need the person who is nearest to me. So in a relationship with God, we should understand that in our relationship with God, when we talk about our walk with God, and we claim to have a great walk with God, we claim to have an awesome walk with God. We claim to have a walk where we see visions and there's this dynamic relationship with God. We should know that means also that we become his messengers. We should know that walking with God makes our feet beautiful. Walking with God makes the feet beautiful. It means now because we walk with God, we have beautiful feet. If because we walk with God, he would also talk to us, and he will give us a message. He will send us to deliver a message to his people. The Bible talked about Enoch walked with God. The feet speaks of followership, of walk. So we walk with God, but here we see that how beautiful are the feet of them that preach. So the believer that says, "I have a walk with God," should be able to also say that I have a walk. I have a message from God. You understand that he's a messenger. Are you here? I'm just trying to say something, that talking to people about Jesus is not a special something. It's no office for it. It's not something special. It's something that you should do because you have a walk with God. In fact, I tried last week to show you that it's a proof that you actually have a walk with God. Somebody has a walk with God, then it will have a walk for God. It will have a message from God. It's a kind of a proof. This talk about a walk without a walk with God I have a walk with God, I have a relationship with God, without a message from God, it's not possible, really not possible. I'm going to show you some scriptures today. I trust that as we go into them, we would see great light. So last week we talked about the fact that it speaks of followership, and followership now speaks of becoming a messenger, right? I was glad when he said, let us go to the house of the Lord. So we go to the house of the Lord, right? Then I was glad now my feet, now how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Now I will leave the house of the Lord with a message. Come on. I will not leave. I was also glad to go out to share the message. We have to see that feet there. How beautiful are the feet of them. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. So they are sent because they have a relationship. They are sent. The focus is on their walk with God. So somebody says, I have a walk with God. Then we say that you have a message from God. So we're going to talk about the feet. And I also told you last week, I said feet makes it clear. It's not about the individual's ability. It's not about skill. It's not about possession or mind. How beautiful are the feet? It's not how beautiful are their attire, their clothing, or how handsome the person is, or how handsome this person is, or the possession or the mind, how intelligent this person is. It just says you have a walk with God. That you have a walk with God. That's why it's how beautiful are the feet. Feet. You have a walk with God. It means that you have a message from God. You don't have to be intelligent. You don't have to be. In fact, like I told you, I said, somebody said, don't let your head get in the way. Somebody said, don't let your head get in the way. Because many a time, the truth is that one of the reasons why we don't spread the gospel, we don't talk to people about Jesus, is because our head gets in the way. We think too much. Remember, it's just a message. Your own is to just deliver the message. It's just to go wherever you go, everywhere you are, and spread the message. This is the message that I was sent to tell you that Jesus loves you. I was sent to tell you Jesus died for you. It's not about how I look. It's not about a color. It's not about my mind, how skilled I am. And illiterate, somebody not so literate, illiterate, just know that knows Jesus, right? You can preach to somebody who has a PhD and say, tell the person Jesus loves you. Remember, how beautiful are the feet of them. Are you interested in? I'm trying to knock down the reason why you cannot preach. I can't preach to my neighbor. Why? He has more money. He has more money, but he's going to hell. He has more money, but he doesn't have a relationship with God. So what's that? No relationship with God. And it's not about the money. It's not about what you have. You don't have to have more than the other person. How beautiful are the feet? Remember we looked at the feet last week. I told you, I just told you some of these things. I want you to just remember. Remember I told you, I said, where Paul was writing, there were no shoes. No shoes, sandals. The best they could get was sandals. And you consider the fact that they're walking on roads that were not tarred. Dusty road. Then you consider again the fact that they had the means of transportation, horses, donkeys, and all that. And those animals will dung anywhere on the road. So the road itself, dirty, dusty, with dung. I mean, the possibility of getting those things on your feet is so high, very high. And Paul says, how beautiful are the feet? So it's not about the fact that you are one big, wealthy somebody, or that you are very intelligent. This has nothing to do with anything. How beautiful are the feet? It means that it has to do with the person being a messenger and just delivering a message. The thought is simple. The thought is, wake up. You have a relationship with God. You are the now God's messenger. It's connected. You don't need to wait for something. I will dive into some things. You don't need to wait for something and all that kind of stuff. Can we look at 2 Corinthians 2:14? Maybe that will help us a little bit. We don't need to do so. You don't have to be a genius to share the gospel. You just have to have feet. How beautiful are the feet, right? Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and make it manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. You see, I told you, I showed you the connection last week. Now, thanks be unto God, which always caused us to triumph in Christ. This is our walk with God. We have a walk with God, and it causes us to what? Triumph. So you have a walk with God, and you join him in that triumph of the cross. But there is an and. That connection is very important. And make it manifest the savour of his knowledge by what? By us. We are in every place. You see the connection there. Our walk with God will always translate to our walk for God. It's clear. So he makes us to triumph, and then he He maketh manifest the salve of his knowledge by us. The same us, I said last week. The same us. So many, because that's what I told you. I said the church has magnified an area, one part of this thing more than the other. And we've magnified the triumphing, the overcoming our enemies. We've magnified the prosperity and the grace in Jesus Christ and all that comes to us. I agree. And that is true. He causes us to triumph. You see that he causes us to triumph. He is not about us. It's about what he has done. He makes us triumph. Right? And now he maketh manifest the salve of his knowledge again. What? By us. The salve of his knowledge. That people will come to know him by us. The same us in every place. The believer wakes up and then he shares the gospel amongst friends in school, shares the gospel amongst colleagues at work, shares the gospel amongst neighbors at home. The gospel is a part of his life. He make it manifest the salve of his knowledge by us. What? In every place. And that's how beautiful are the feet of them. The beautiful feet. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
it doesn't have to be skilled, like we said. Feet makes it clear. It's not about his skill. It's not about his beauty. It's not about how handsome this guy is or how beautiful this lady is or whatever. It's not about what he has. At the end of the day, it comes down to, does he have a walk with God? Does he have a relationship with God? And then he can talk to people. He should talk to people about Jesus. He should not be a skin. He should not be a target. Are you here? It should be a lifestyle. Talking to people about Jesus, letting people know about Jesus and the goodness and the gospel of peace and his goodness and his love, it should be normal to you. Okay. Experiencing the miracle power of God every day should be normal to you. Aha. So I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. It should be normal to you to experience the goodness of God every day in your life, to walk in miracles and power. That should be normal. It should be normal for every believer. Somebody said, I don't experience that. Then you have to experience that. He makes you triumph. That is true. That is true. And you want to experience that, yes, then let's go on. Know about that. And now I'm saying, listen, as you pursue the experience of his power in your life every day, you must and you should understand that you should also carry the savour of his knowledge in your life every day, everywhere you go. You should. That's how it should be. You should. It should not be hard. You don't need a fivefold calling. You don't need it's not a ministerial something. How beautiful are the feet? It's not how beautiful are the pastors. Somebody say, but you're a pastor. You don't have anything to do with a pastor. I told you last week, I'm a pastor by just the fact that I'm preaching. Not by anything. Nothing. But you're preaching and you're talking to people about Jesus and you're bringing them into a relationship with Jesus and Jesus is with you and you are walking and experiencing the miracle power of God in your life and you are talking to people about Jesus and you put them together and we are talking about what God wants us to do. There's a certain calling in that, the certain thing in that respect, but that is not the main thing. The idea is that you're just a normal person talking about Jesus everywhere. And so we said, why the feet? Why beautiful feet? Because of the message, the gospel of peace. So it's beautiful because the gospel of peace, right? It brings glad tidings of good things. It's beautiful. I mean, you are bringing good news to somebody. That it says how beautiful are the feet. So it's beautiful because of that. It is beautiful also because of what the message does for the hearer. When the hearer receives the message of our Lord Jesus Christ, then he's excited. There's joy. There's power that breaks bondages. Come on, destroys yokes and bring the person into liberty. So he says, oh boy, how beautiful are the feet. So I'm saying that's why the feet is beautiful. We looked at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16. Can you move to Romans 1:16? The Bible says, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is what? The power of God unto salvation. You see it now. So it's beautiful because there's power. The message that God gives to you to give out, to share, is a powerful message. It brings the power of God that brings salvation to their hearts. Are you still here?
Yes,
simple message. Simple stuff. We need to just wake up. We need to wake up. We should not be talking to believers, somebody who knows Jesus, about souls. It's not about winning souls. And it, you know, really, it's not. It should not. The woman that Jesus met by the well in John chapter number 4, the woman, you know the story. Jesus met this woman. They had a conversation for some few minutes. And this woman went away and began to talk to people about Jesus. Come and meet this man. Come and share. You know, it's funny that when we get to church, we talk to people about the power of God. We do power all night, 14 days power all night. We do prayer, rain down from heaven, miracle service. But then we do that, and then we now go to people, and then we've been doing this for months. And then when it's time to talk to people about Jesus, they now say, okay, but I'm not a pastor. But you know Jesus. But you met Jesus. Have you met Jesus? You met the guy. You have to be a pastor to talk to somebody about the person you've met. That's the idea. We do everything. I mean, you've known Jesus 10 years, 5 years, 7 years, 3 years. Somebody said, I met Jesus last week. Last week is something. Last week is a whole week. 7 days ago, you met this guy. And I said, talk to somebody about him. You should talk to somebody about him. I'm like, I don't know him. Come on, how much do you want? I mean, people talk about love at first sight. I'm having love at first sight now. I'm experiencing it right now. Falling in love everywhere. First sight. You know, you meet a lady and you say, oh, man, I like this lady. You never spoken to herself. And you are telling your friend. This message must land, though. It must land. You are describing her to your friend, and you are saying, God, babe, you see this babe, eh? Babe, see this babe. You've known Jesus for 3 years, and you can't describe him to somebody. Are you sure you know, are you sure it's Jesus you have been meeting? That's what I'm trying to say. We can't say that we have a relationship with Jesus. We can't say that we have come to Jesus, and it's so hard. We have to beg you. We have to do a scheme. We have to do a structure. We can. It's not a bad thing. I've not said it's a bad thing. Each one win one. One soul for Jesus this month. It's okay. Maybe your zonal leader. I'm telling you, I told them, I said, do whatever you like. But I want to teach you first of all that is fundamental. That it is normal. It should not be hard. You should speak to somebody on a bus. I mean, just talk to this person. You know, you have maybe somehow, something leads to it. And then, reading this book. What book are you reading? Why are you reading this book? And then, you just talk about everything leads somehow to Jesus. And then, you want to give Jesus this news to this person. It's not about whether his perfume is the perfume that fills the bus. You know, you say with those people, I mean, this guy, you know that it's this guy's perfume. That this, but it doesn't mean you want to talk to him about Jesus. You don't want to say his shoe, my wrist touched his wrist. It doesn't mean you just give Jesus everywhere you go. That's how it should be. You say this person knows Jesus. He's giving Jesus everywhere. That's how it should be. That's my message. It's beautiful feet. It doesn't have to do with how intelligent you are. You don't have to be a lawyer, doctor. No, you don't have to be any of those things. I told you, Peter, their disciples, some of them were just fishermen. Ignorant men, they didn't know anything, but they have been with Jesus. That time they spent with Jesus was enough for them to talk to people about Jesus. They went about talking to people about Jesus. That's where Paul says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Good news, bring the gospel. I want every believer in World Pasture, I want everyone who's hearing this message right now to become a messenger. To know, should know that you are a messenger. You should know, not maybe become, I think become is wrong. You are a messenger because you have a walk with God. Your legs, you walk with God. Enoch walk with God. Oh God, I want to walk with God. Me too, I want to walk with God. If you want to walk with God, you are walking with God. Then you know that same walk with God will translate you to become a walk for God. You do a walk for God also. Right? I want to give you a classical case. A classical case in Acts of the Apostles chapter number 9. Can we look at Acts of the Apostles chapter number 9? Acts of the Apostles chapter number 9 and in verse number 10. You see, look at a case, a classical one. I think we can, from this story, we'll say a thing or two and then we'll move to something else. But, okay, yes, from this story. So let's read the story. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus. Are we all still in church? If you've gone home, say amen. Alright. There were a certain disciples at Damascus named Ananias. Right? And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. You see a certain disciple, right? No prophet, pastor, nothing. Are you a disciple? Come on. Ah. No, this is a real question. Are you a disciple?
Yes.
Disciple now. Okay. A certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. It's just a certain disciple. He was not, there was no office. There was no office. Right? And the Lord said to him, just called out to him, Ananias, and he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." Next verse. And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth." Next verse. "And had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight." Next verse. "Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to the saints at Jerusalem." Next verse. "And here he had authority from the chief priest." I mean, there was no phone, there was no WhatsApp, there was no internet. But this guy, they hear gists. This guy, they hear gists, because Paul went to the chief priest to get a letter. Paul got the letter. On his way, was struck down and was blind. Went to the house with his letter in his hand. When he arrived, I'm sure the gist spread. And Ananias, to show you that he was not locked up in one convent or whatever, he heard the gist. He heard the full gist. Yeah, he had authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. He was giving God the information. But as if, I mean, God didn't know. Obviously, God didn't know. I mean, you know, we don't want to go into that discussion. We are giving God information. He's telling you, Ananias, go and do. You say, no, let me tell you, this man, like, he didn't know. I mean, but the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Next verse. "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Next verse. Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. Simple. Beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. Ananias went his way. Ananias went his way. So we look at that story. Ananias just had a relationship with God. Come on. God spoke to him, walked with God, and he called him, he answered, he told him stuff to do, to show you that he's just a walk, an ordinary man. He even had this conversation with God as to why he should not go, why it doesn't make sense. Just an ordinary guy, relationship. But come on, you have a message. I have a message for this man. I want you to deliver the message. So it is the person who has a walk with God, close proximity with him, that he will deliver his message to. So he gives him his message, he says, "Go give it to this man." And Ananias went his way, and then he entered the house, did all that, and then Paul received the sight, God filled the Holy Ghost, and Paul began to do great things. We want God to use us greatly. We can pray for God to do great things through our lives. And when we are praying for that, and we are thinking about that, we are thinking about a crusade, or we are thinking about a pastor. But no, a great conversion happened in the house just now. Somebody spoke to Paul, and Paul became saved and then began to preach. That was a great conversion. So are you sure the person, your neighbor, somebody around you, the people around you, they are not great men and women of God? Unless you give them the gospel. It doesn't take a crusade. Ananias didn't do a crusade here. He didn't gather 10 people and say, "Okay, I print a banner." You don't need a banner. You just need to go out and do what the Lord wants you to do, which is to be his messenger. Share the good news. You should not also be judgmental. I'm helping you already right now. You should not also be judgmental. If we're not to judge people. Many at times, one thing I find is that it's easy for us to sit down and judge them. Judge that boy, judge that girl, judge that man. You know, we want to sit in the place of judgment. But we're not called to judgment. We are called to spread the good news. We see that in Ananias. He said, Paul was this, Paul was that, Paul was this. No, just go share the good news. So you look at that lady and you look at Peter as if her life is bad. She's a bad person. No, that's not your job. You are a messenger. Just remember, I'm a messenger. So it is for me to spread the message, to give the message. It's not about judgment. We're not called to be judgmental. We should not be judgmental. Remember again, our message is good news. Good news. Glad tidings of good things. We're telling them, hey, Jesus Christ died for you. We're saying, hey, Jesus Christ loves you. You see, you are saying them, the Lord is good. You are saying, the Lord has been good to me. And I know that he has been good to you too. You just need to open up your eyes and give your heart to him. And you will see greater things in your life. That's what you are saying. Good news, good message. Just a message. Not judgmental. Right? And so you see from the story that everybody can do this. Are you still here? Yeah, it's a message to wake you up to say, come on, talk to anybody can do it. Ananias did it. They said himself, after now, you don't hear anything about Ananias again. He's not a prophet. He doesn't have to, because many a time we say time, right? Time, like I told you, with the woman by the well, rather. It didn't take so long. She just had an encounter with Jesus, and then she went about talking to people about Jesus. It's not a matter of time. Then somebody will say, I'm not a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor. Ananias was not a pastor. We don't hear anything about Ananias again. What about if God just apprehended you for one purpose? God could apprehend you for one person. He could apprehend you for five people. Not crusade. He just said, the reason why I want this person, I got this person, is so that he can get that gate. He's the only person that will get to that gate. You know, he is God Almighty. He has seen everything. And then he gets you. And all you are thinking about is how you want to, enemy should die. I want all of them to die. Even me. I want all your enemies to die. Tomorrow morning. Oh, sorry. Too far. Now. Die now. I'm interested in that. But we want to do that. We want to do all that. We want to see all the power. We want to see all the glory, all the miracle, and all the money in our accounts. And then we want to do all that. And then he says, but there's one, this relationship. He said, no, wait. Yeah, I mean, we have a relationship with God. And we just say relationship is one way. We don't know that there's something else to it. And we need to understand that today, that there's something else to it. We must represent God. Talk to him. You know, talk about him rather to people out there. That's part of your job. That's part of your relationship with him. It's part of your relationship with him. It's dynamic. It should be there. So Ananias was not a prophet, pastor, teacher. He didn't have the fivefold office. Because when you talk to people about Jesus, next thing they say, I'm not a pastor. I don't know how pastor got anything to do with it. But when it comes to receiving miracle and power, everybody should do that. I don't know how that came about, but that's not true. How beautiful are the feet? Come on. When you talking to people about Jesus, something else comes up. Time. You don't need so much time. You meet Jesus, have a relationship with him, you can describe him to somebody else. Come on. Are you still here? There's something else that comes up I need to talk to you about. And that's about the difficulties in our life. I want to show you again from Acts of the Apostles. Go to chapter number 8. I'll show you. Read again. We'll look at Ananias. Look at classical cases. Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 8. We're going to read a long some passage, so just stay with me. In verse number 1, and Saul, that was before, remember we read 9 when he got converted. We're reading 8 now, before he got converted. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Stephen, right? And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. I'm just trying to paint a picture. Again, there are times when I teach step, point, but I can't teach step, point. I couldn't bring them together. Just paint this picture for you. I think it will help you. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Next verse. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Next verse. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, look, if you see the therefore, it's powerful. It's funny. It's actually funny if you look. It says, therefore, there is very funny. The problem is, when I teach the word and I bring truth out, it's to help bring these things to light. A lot of things that are missing in the body of Christ that is just terrible. It's embarrassing, actually, because it's clear. Therefore, look at it. If you see 1, 2, 3. You see a therefore, you should wonder what is the therefore there. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. There seemed to be no connection. This, therefore this. Now, this, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. It's a lifestyle. They were going through literally going through hell. Things were tough in their lives. But you see that soul winning was not a target. Talking to people about Jesus was not a scheme. They were not meant to. I thank God for the church. I believe you are getting me. That's the truth. That's the truth. But again, sometimes I stop. I'm a little bit. I'm like, how did we get here? How do we even have to start to do this? Because you read your Bible, you read this thing, you have a walk with God, and then somehow, because of the pulpit, we damage everything. But it's supposed to be very clear, very clear. The gospel is a part of your life. It's not about what you are going through. Somebody says, Pastor, I'm going through a lot of things. I told you, it is beautiful feet. They were scattered abroad because they were chasing them to put them in prison. And they now went everywhere preaching. It doesn't make sense. They think they just want to go and hide. But they were not scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching. I mean, this is what they were doing that Paul was attacking them for. And they were now in a bad condition. They were chasing them. They had to leave their homes, pack his bags with the children, and put Jesus together and say, all right, we're going. And he's going and he's preaching. And I have to preach to a church of brilliant, beautiful people who have jobs, something, but it's that they should please talk to somebody about Jesus. It's like nuts. As far as I'm concerned, that we're nuts. We're doing nonsense. As if we don't know what we are doing. Well, anyway, that's why I'm bringing the gospel. That's why I'm bringing this word to you. That's why I'm bringing this word to you. You don't know what I'm doing. He said, but I'm going through a lot. I mean, these people were being chased. They were going through a lot. It's not, it's a message. You are a messenger. You carry the message everywhere you go. Beautiful fees. Pastor, I have things unresolved in my life. Not unresolved. They were scattered. You see scattered? Scattered. And they were preaching the word everywhere. So you see, this makes it clear again that the gospel is not a matter of, it's not a scheme. It's your life. It's a part of you. You share Jesus everywhere you go. That is the truth. I have things not settled. Your life will never ever be really totally settled. Come on. So for the pastor, is your life settled? My life is no way settled. I'm 0.00000 settled. I have a lot of things I want to settle. But I'm preaching the gospel. I have to stand here to preach. I have to stand here to talk to you about Jesus. I have to come here and deliver his message. I'm a messenger. It doesn't mean my life is perfect. I'm a messenger. I carry a message. And I have to do this every Sunday. It's not about perfect life. It's not about the fact that he's enjoying. It's not about the fact that there's a private jet somewhere and there's stuff everywhere. No, it doesn't have anything to do with that. So don't think it has to do with that in your own life too. That I have to be perfect. A pastor, there's something I'm pursuing. Everybody is pursuing something. There's something I'm pursuing. Come on. Or there's something that is pursuing me. Because in this case, something was pursuing them. But it's so funny. It's so funny that we have a therefore. They that were scattered abroad. In that situation. In that condition. They knew something we have not grasped. And that's what I wanted to grab. They knew that the gospel was entrusted to them. The good news was, it was a part of their lives. So they will pack the whole thing, go with their children, and they're leaving their house, and then they are going, they meet somebody. Come on, they meet somebody by the way. And they say, hey, have you heard of Jesus of Nazareth? We know him. He has touched our lives. They are talking to people about Jesus, and the gospel will even spread more. The more they attack them, the more they spread the gospel everywhere. And we are in our houses. We go to our jobs on Mondays, Tuesdays. Mondays we start off just now. We do everything and then we say things are not balanced. We say, we're no stop. Well, so if we are going to take notes in this direction, like I told you, I didn't order them. I wanted to put them in numbers. I actually did like that, but it didn't work. It's not going to work out for me. If we're going to consider this thing very well, I think that, first of all, if we have appreciated this message, we see that we should have seen by now. Right? Come on. That the gospel has been committed to our trust, that it should be a lifestyle. Talking to people about Jesus should be a lifestyle. So in my mind, in my thoughts through the week was, so why don't we do it? In the north, right now in Nigeria, being a Christian would be a tough something. Go to churches, abductions, killings, and blah blah blah. So you say that, but right now we're not even experiencing that in the south here. And then we're not talking to people about Jesus. Well, number one, my first thought was ignorance. Believers maybe don't know that it's a responsibility, that they should do it, that it should be a lifestyle. That's my first thought. And my message today, yes, last week, today, should have done that. Come on. Number two, it's what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, when Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We are ashamed of Jesus. I'm thinking, that's the thing. Maybe we're not talking to people about Jesus, not because now we are not aware. We just felt it's for pastors, it's for prophets and evangelists. But now, the way pastors have taught us now, I've seen from the scripture by myself, it should be a part of my lifestyle. All right, fine. The next thing is now, are you ashamed of Jesus? Move to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. You see that there. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Implying that it is possible, maybe one of the reasons why we are not doing it is not because we did not know, but well, if you did not know, now you know. One reason why you might not want to do it is that you are ashamed of Jesus. Is that possible? Is that the case? Are you ashamed of Jesus? I don't need to carry beat you over that word. I think you need to consider that thing. Are you really ashamed of Jesus? Is that the reason why we don't talk to people about Jesus? Because at least we're not threatened right now. We're not threatened right now. But so why don't we just open our mouth freely everywhere? And you know, why don't we talk to our neighbors, our friends, colleagues at work? Why don't we just do Jesus everywhere? Say, hey, calm down, no carry this Jesus put for head, though. No carry Jesus put for head. Then they carry, okay, people, well, they don't say Jesus, they'll say church. They'll say church. No carry church put for head. Well, fear no, let everybody say no carry Jesus put for head. Abi? Have everybody said, no, they'll say no carry church put for head. Alright. So, they don't carry church put for head, and all that. Maybe the shame. You feel that if we talk about Jesus, if we are talking about Jesus, or if we approach somebody to talk about Jesus, it will be somehow. You know, that's just what they need. They need that awkward thing. No? Their lives are already messed up. They need to hear the good news. So your shame, I don't know what you think, is waiting for you to actually come. How beautiful are the feet? Come on. They are waiting for you to actually come. That they are miserable and sitting down and thinking about their lives and how miserable, how things are not working and all that, how they can't help themselves. And then you come and you talk about Jesus. Just what the doctor ordered. That's just what they need. So we should not be ashamed of Jesus. We should not be. Shame. Why are we ashamed of Jesus? Why are you ashamed of Jesus? Come on. The same Jesus that died for you. It's not possible. I want to believe that's not possible. Come on. Amen?
Amen.
I think one other thing that hinders us so much is skill. We think, well, okay, before we do, let's say skill, I'll do that. But sorry, I want to say fear. Fear. Fear of rejection. Fear of what will happen. Rejection, what will happen. Maybe nothing will happen. Maybe he will not receive my message. But you will not be the first person. You will be in good company. Isaiah 53:1. Isaiah, prophet Isaiah that you love. You name your children Isaiah. And Jeremiah. Moses. Isaiah said, who has believed our reports? So if the person does not receive, if you share the gospel with somebody and the person does not receive your message, you are in good company. You are in the company of Isaiah. You are in the company of Isaiah. Because I mean Isaiah. You think if Isaiah came down, Isaiah spoke to them, then they will receive. But Isaiah said, what believe our reports? Remember, message, messenger. What happens with what they do with it, what happens after that, it's not really your part, it's not really your job. Come on. You preach the good news, that's not really your job. You'll be in good company. If it's fear, if you are thinking now, I go to this boy, or I'm talking to, I want to talk to this girl, I'm talking about Jesus, he will dismiss me. It's okay. It's okay. But the most important thing, right, is that you have attempted to deliver the message, or that you've even delivered the message. And the person say, I don't understand this Jesus. There are many questions. All these people's choices, no problem. But you've delivered the message. You plant the seed. He will do something with the seed somehow. That's his own stuff. But we're talking about the messenger. We're talking about considering the message. We are saying, first of all, that every believer becomes a messenger. Every believer carries the message. So we're looking, considering the message, the messenger. What happens with it? What the person does, rejection, no problem. Don't be afraid of rejection. Jesus said, you will go out, you will preach. You'll be preaching everywhere. He said, you will get to a place, they will not receive you. He said, don't stay there, don't bother, don't cry. Just continue going, go to the next place. He said, before you finish going around, my time will even be up. I would have come back again just now. So just keep on going. So there are places. He said, they don't receive your message, right? He said, dust the dust of your village off your shoes and walk away. It's possible. So they don't receive the message. No, that's not your problem. The important thing is that you deliver the message. Rejection, that should not hurt you. If they reject the message that you bring, remember they're not rejecting you. Come on. It's the person who sent you. It's not, should not hurt you. It's not personal. I talk to people about Jesus. I mean, like in ministry, we talk to people about Jesus. People come around the church and say, vamos. I don't feel hurt. I'm delivering the message that he gave to me. I'm sharing the gospel. I'm sharing the truth from God's word to his people. How do you receive it? What you do with it? What you will not do? That doesn't hurt me. It's sometimes painful, but it's not that kind of thing that will make me say, I don't do ministry again. Not again. They left the church. How can they leave this church? I think I'm doing the best. I mean, people can leave. People will come. People will go. But the most important thing, I'm delivering the message. I mean, I'll deliver the message that he gives to me to two people. In fact, when we say delivering the message, now we're online, we're delivering the message globally, we'll sit on the floor. University of Benin, sit on the floor, bare floor. Bare floor. There's no plan for chairs. Chairs are not in the plan at all. We can't afford chairs on the floor. Come on. We will come, we will go. They reject the message. Not everybody will follow the message, but you must understand, this thing is about you delivering the message of Jesus Christ. Are you here? I'm trying to help you now because I'm trying to cover the grounds. I'm trying to say, listen, it is fundamental that you understand that in your walk with God, you have a relationship with God. That will mean that you now have a work for God. It is normal. That should be organic. Now, I'm trying to say, why? Why wouldn't we do it? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So it means one could be ashamed of the gospel. If Paul says, I am not ashamed, I mean, and Paul means that, Paul saying that means that Paul is saying that I could even be ashamed. Pause. Why would he say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel? It means that as a Roman citizen, remember I was a Roman citizen, and then a Pharisee and a Hebrew, blah, 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 he could be ashamed of Jesus. He could be, but Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And so we should not be ashamed. So I'm trying to help you. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. We should not fear rejection. We should not consider, I already told you about that, we should not consider a skill. Skill is not about skill. Remember, beautiful feet. I don't need to do that so long. I did that last week. Beautiful feet. It's not about skill. It's not about your mind. It's not about saying, delivering the message of Jesus Christ. You might not be a rocket scientist, but you should be able to talk to people about Jesus. In fact, first century Christians, in 1 Corinthians, look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse number 26. Look at this. I think this will help you. Rejection. You'll be in the company of Isaiah. I told you about rejection and fear. Right? 1 Corinthians 1:26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Next verse. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The truth is, coming from the first century church, you see that the gospel was actually given first of all and basically to people of low estate. low estate. They were from people of high estate, but basically to people of low estate. You see your calling, and you know, brethren, not that not many might, not many wise, not many are called. That's just the truth. So give the message to people. The church will not be a place of segregation where we are talking about some rich folks and here and some poor folks there and say no, they don't. No, everybody needs the gospel. Right? Give the gospel. So it's not about being intelligent. Not about being intelligent. Not about being smart. Not about being a rocket scientist. It's about Jesus Christ. It's easy for a messenger to deliver, to deliver a message, no matter how heavy the message is. Because the message does not come from you. The power of the message is not in your hand. Come on. So they tell me to go to NASA. Huh? And tell them X over Y is equal to Z times 25 equal to pi and lambda. Ask me what lambda is, what pi is. I don't know. Ask me why X over Y is equal to 23. I don't know. But if I get that message, if I get that stuff, I deliver it, my job is done. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You just have to deliver a message. So you say, I don't know this thing. I just know that Jesus loves you. Okay. So if Jesus is God, see, Jesus loves you. He died for your sins. Ah. Deliver a simple message. The message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver the message of his goodness in your life. Are you still here? It's the gospel of peace. I think we also need to master our message. It's not a message of condemnation. It's a message of peace. Gospel of peace. Glad tidings, good things. Amen? Alright. We're not judgmental. I told you about that. It's not a matter of time. It's not a matter of the fivefold office. There's no shame. It's not even a matter of difficulties. Difficulties. Pastor, my life is not really balanced right now. Your life will never really be balanced. If I give you 10 million, your life will still not be balanced. I know what I'm talking about. And someone says, ah, Pastor, you don't lie. No, I don't lie. I know what I'm talking to you about. Quarrel will burst. People that you gave, someone you gave 1 million to, will be angry that you didn't give two. You will find that enemies will arise from people that you gave money to, and they said the money was not enough. People have won the lottery and they divorced after the lottery because it created a problem. Yeah, it doesn't mean life will never be balanced. Just imagine they gave you 10 million. Just imagine. You say it's not happen, but you know what I'm talking about. Maybe it's even you. Then you give somebody, so your brother sends you 100,000. You say, for what? How much did he win? You see now. You know, it will never be balanced. Say, there will not be peace everywhere. I'll just share 100,000. Then let's say he now hears, because wars have ears, that you actually gave your wife, or let me not say wife, self. Your girlfriend, 150, and you gave me your brother, me your blood. I shall seek your blood, you shall die. The man that you were not planning to kill before, the reason why they want to kill him now is because he gave more money to girlfriend. I mean, life will never be balanced. If you are expecting that money will sort everything out, it will not sort it. You say, if you can get this job, everything will sort out. It will not still work. Enemies will arise. Say, my enemy will finish because I'll just share the money around. Your enemies will not finish. Sure, that's when you start getting enemies. There's somebody you didn't even share to, that you just walk past, your neighbor, that you don't greet. People have never greeted. You don't have 10 million. You should use your church mind and your brain to just give, and you didn't give me enemy. If you are looking at life will be balanced with money or something, it won't work. Life will never be balanced. We have to just share the gospel like that. I'm persecuted and pursued. The Jews, Romans chapter 8, Acts 8, and they went everywhere and they were preaching. It's our message. I know you heard the gotten this message. I think you get this message. It's our message. It's our life. We should do that. I want to do a each one win one. I want to do win a soul for Jesus in the month of J for July, J for Jesus, Jew, anything. I can't do that. But as good as that is, as helpful as that is, yeah, that's helpful. That, you know, I think it's limited. Limited in the sense that it just gives you a scheme to do it, but doesn't tell you why. Doesn't tell you that it's a lifestyle. And you stop again, and then you have to be refired again. But this teaching shows you that it is true. It's what you should do. You don't have to wait for July or August or September. You just talk to somebody about Jesus. It is your responsibility. I have beautiful feet. Come on. And you have beautiful feet because you have a relationship with Jesus. Are you still here? Wake up to your responsibility. Do not be down, ashamed of Jesus. Come on. Not ashamed of Jesus. I still have some time. I want to round up with that. I'm done. I'm not recapping this thing. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. It's the same Jesus that blesses me. I will not be ashamed of him. Come on. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. There are difficulties, but they went everywhere preaching the gospel. There are difficulties. You never really be out of it. You never really be out of it. And so, you just know that and go away preaching the gospel. The gospel thing, Paul says, beautiful feet. Can we go to Romans chapter 10? The gospel thing, beautiful feet. It says it's not about a fivefold ministry. Verse 15. It's not about the fivefold ministry. How beautiful are the feet of them? It's not about pastor or prophet or teacher. It's about being a believer. Are you still here? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That's what it's about. So I love us to consider our choices, consider our lifestyle, consider the gospel as a part of our lives. I remember when I told you in Ephesians, can you move? Okay, to that. Ephesians chapter number 6, just move there. Let me do that. I didn't even sense it to get into the message, but alas, today it gets into it. Ephesians chapter number 6. Remember when we talked about the armor, put on the whole armor of the Lord? Verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Are you still here? Next verse. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Next verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Next verse. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Next verse. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's a part of your dress code. The gospel is there. Again, guess where it is again? Your feet. So the gospel of peace should be on your feet. And I think there's something I left out of my notes I didn't share with you. When we also talk about beautiful feet, you will not expect, you should understand that angels won't do it. Angels won't do it. Beautiful feet. Angels fly. They move with that kind of speed. But when we talk about beautiful feet, we're talking about man. It's your responsibility. Are you here? Man, your responsibility. And your feet show the preparation of the gospel of peace. My consideration now is, I've shared the message. You see it now. What would you do? So would you bow your heads this morning? I'd rather teach. I'd rather bring the gospel. I'd rather bring the gospel. Rather than just introduce a scheme, I'd rather that you know that it is your responsibility. I'd rather that you begin to share the gospel everywhere you go. I'd rather you wake up to it and say, if Ananias was just a certain disciple and the Lord spoke to him and he went and he met Paul, I too, just a certain disciple, I don't have to be a prophet, a pastor, a teacher. Someone says, I've known the Lord for some hours now. Yes, that's enough. That's enough. A week now, a year. Some of you, you've been in church for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. It's enough to wake up and say, I have a relationship with God. I have a walk with God. And because I have a walk with God, I have a walk for God. My feet are beautiful because I spent time with the Lord. We spend time with the Lord. And then he sends us. He gives us a message. The fivefold office. The fivefold office is a ministry. It's a different thing entirely. This is every believer preaching. Every believer talking to people about Jesus. And you say, Father, I've woken up to this reality. I've woken up to this truth. Come on, it's time for you to pray. It's not a scheme. Soul winning, talking to people about Jesus, your neighbors, your friends, it's not a scheme, it's a lifestyle. Even in difficulties, they went everywhere preaching. It's a lifestyle. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Our message is not of condemnation. It's a gospel of peace. We bring glad tidings of good things. That's the message. I'm just a messenger. I'm a messenger. Every believer is a messenger. Every believer. Every believer who has a relationship with God, who has a walk with God, has beautiful feet. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So if it's shame, come on, it's today you say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. If it is, Pastor, I'm very busy, I have a lot of things to do, my life is not organized, then you should know that your life will never be organized. But the gospel should be a part of your everyday life. If you consider the disciples scattered abroad, and yet they went everywhere preaching. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. They went everywhere preaching. What excuse do we have? I want you to say, Father, I'm not waiting for a scheme, a win soul target. I see now that this thing is my life. That in my relationship with you, I am bound. Because I have a walk with you, I see now that I have beautiful feet. I have beautiful feet. I have beautiful feet. Come on. It's time for us to pray. I'm a soul winner. I'm not a soul winner by an instruction. I'm a soul winner by default. By default. Why? My feet, they are shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm wearing it actually. Everywhere I go, the gospel goes there. I don't have to have a lightning from thunder from sky. I'll be sent because I am near him. Every believer. Every believer, hallelujah, right? We have a relationship with God. We are in the house of God. I just remember he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. We know that part. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. So if we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and then the Most High wants to deliver a message to somebody, who will he send? We must knock off that thing. We must knock off that thing. And that's the call of my teaching. Two weeks. I mean, it's a short one. It's a good one. We must knock off that thing. That's the call. That we are in the house. And then he wants to deliver a message. He will send you. So you're not waiting for some celestial falling. You're not waiting for a calling. Someone say, I don't have a calling. I'm not a pastor. You don't know about that. But you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And then he says, and then in that house, remember, just like Isaiah, you say, who will go for us? Some believers are in the house and they keep quiet. They are thinking that it has to be something extra. It is now your response. You have to get up and say, okay, I'll go. You have to accept this thing. This is your lifestyle because you are in the house. Now, if he says he will go for us, you're expecting the person who is there to want to respond to that call. To respond to that. So you don't need something from sky. An uncle. We're talking about just talking to people about Jesus. We are talking about being sent to talk to one person. I didn't say crusade. One person, your neighbor, colleagues at work. Being the light that they see. Sharing the light. Being the light that they see so they can come to Jesus. That's what we're talking about. And that's the call of my message. The call is the simple thing. You walk with God. You have a relationship with God. Then you've been sent. You have beautiful feet. Your feet are beautiful because they've been with the Lord. And now that feet, you take it everywhere. Everywhere you go. Just talking to people about Jesus. So my job as a pastor, you say, you are called pastor. You see the job of a pastor? That's what I'm doing now. I'm teaching you the word of God. Teaching you your responsibility. Showing you who you are. Your roles and all that. But your role, what you should do, is to you talk to people about Jesus. That's also your job. See, I'm doing my job in the five-fold office. See, I don't have this calling. I have this calling. And I'm telling you now, me that have the calling, I'm telling you this is my own job. To empower you. To show you what your responsibility is in Christ. Thank you, Father. Father, let me pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. We thank you because our eyes have been opened to see. Our eyes are open to see that because we have a walk with you, this relationship with you, we also have a walk for you. And that this walk is for everyone, everybody. Father, we arise, we wake up to that responsibility now in the name of Jesus. Our hearts are open. And we see that soul winning is not a scheme. It's not something we do part time. It's something we do all the time. And so we go out now, knowing that your family is also as your family is also your army. And so we are your family, and so we step out also as the army of the Lord, spreading your message everywhere. Father, we thank you for beautiful feet. From today, from now, from henceforth, we'll go out and we'll share the gospel. As it should just be a lifestyle for us. No compulsion, no force. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the grace of your words rest upon us. We will go out from henceforth just talking to people about it. It's going to be easy for us because we see there's grace now. Grace. We've seen that it's our lifestyle. That we will just do it. We will not need to be forced. We will not need to be dragged. We have a walk with you. And so our feet have become beautiful. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for grace. Father, just like we just want to dare step forward even and to say this. And just like you used Paul and Ananias and you got to Paul, Lord, use us to reach out to, you know, somebody, a vessel, even a great vessel, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Use us, Lord. Like that. Just like that. Reach out to somebody. We don't know, but we just want to do something for you. And we just dare to ask you to use us like that, to get to somebody who will be very instrumental for your kingdom. And get to somebody, maybe you just love that girl and you just want us to reach out to her for you. Lord, we want to do it. We want to go out. Use us like that. Use us like that. Even like Isaiah preached everywhere, and Isaiah says, "Who has believed our report?" Father, we want to go out and just share your message. We are ready, Lord. And like Paul, we are not ashamed. We are not ashamed. Thank you for your grace on your work. We'll go out. We are established in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.